George? George? I'm right over here, George. Right over here on the news, according to me. Oh, George. Georgie, George. Georgie Porgy. The old George. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Here we are on the news, according to me, this morning, with the ad-free, no interruptions, except, you know, from myself. My own thoughts interrupt myself quite a bit often, quite often. But got interesting events happening in the world, as usual. Mostly that finally have a show I'm doing this morning. I have to say, something's going on with my algorithms on the reporting of the listens that people are giving me, the number of listens, because suddenly there are none, and I know better. So there's something going on with that. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that, but something's going on with that. Because I don't know what's going on with that. And really, I think the most important thing that we need to realize is what is in my cup this morning. The right now there's chai, Pacific Island chai, with French vanilla creamer, of course. It's a delightful thing. And I was using some spray glue. It's a contact spray foam glue stuff in my booth here to secure some sound panels onto some rubber foam stuff, because I live in a rubber room here. And I realized that as I was spraying some of that stuff, there was some overspray. Got on my keyboard. And now my fingers stick to the keyboard. So as I'm typing, my fingers get stuck. Now, some people have said, oh, the keys are stuck. No, my fingers are stuck to the keys. That's the problem now. And I have this cat that likes to come down here and play in this rubber room when I'm not here. And apparently he can climb on these foam panels. So he climbs up on the ceiling, walks around up there like he's walking on the moon. Anyway, I've got him locked out right now. He's nowhere around. Don't worry, he won't show up unless one of the dogs happens to open the door, and then he'll come flying in here. But I'll let you know. I'll let you know if that happens, because this is live, recorded, live. No pauses, no edits. Just, you know, the real me for a half an hour to an hour, sometimes more. So I was mentioning George. I'm not going to talk about his last name, but it rhymes with Soros. And he apparently has been getting involved again in some of our, you know, the depth of his little tentacles, of his organizations, the Tides Foundation, for one. That's not his only foundation, believe me, trust me. He's got many organizations that he gets behind and backs and basically takes over without having his name on the title. This guy has been around for a long time, knows how to socially engineer societies. Thinks that he can meddle and screw around with society and make it what he wants it to be. You know, this is a guy that, if you know his history, he was very sheltered from what happened back at the time of Hitler. And he doesn't understand his role in the world right now, I don't think. Or maybe he does. I believe he does. Maybe he does. I think he thinks he's doing something right and good, that he's a good person. But I also think he has this fetish with control, manipulation, and power. He is what epitomizes what motivates most of our politicians. So much I could talk about today. I realize I haven't had a show for a while, and there's so much going on. What are the things that, you know, last night, here's a good thing that happened. Last night we went out to dinner. I got home yesterday from a trip, and And last night, my wife and I went out for dinner. Walk into a restaurant. There's no sign on the door about wearing a mask. Now, we had our masks at the ready, because we know. Now, everywhere I went on my trip, everybody was wearing a mask. Pretty much most everybody's wearing. Yeah, everybody's wearing a mask. Let's see, I was in I was in Pennsylvania. I was in West Virginia. I was in Charlottesville is I think it's West Virginia, right? Charlottesville, Virginia. I don't know, West Virginia. One of the Virginias. I don't know why they can't get along. Why can't just become one? And then you have I was in Huntsville, Alabama as well. And I was also in Chicago, actually. And I think that's all. I was in Michigan. I was also in Michigan. Actually spent some time in Michigan there. And I think actually the last show I did was from Flint, Michigan, possibly. Maybe. I don't know. So, of course, everybody in Michigan's wearing a mask. Even outside, they're trying to still keep people wearing masks. A couple of things that are going on. And you got Fossey now. Let's just talk about the COVID thing for a little bit. I'll get into the George Soros thing in here a little bit as well, and what's going on with Maricopa County and the county sheriff there, and how far we have fallen from Sheriff Arpaio or whatever his name was. The chai is pretty good, by the way. The chai is excellent. So my wife and I walk into a restaurant, and nobody's wearing a mask. Servers aren't wearing a mask. People at the door aren't wearing a mask. Now, they still have, they still have some limited seating, and they have the plastic shields up, and they've got, all the stuff there for your, all the sanitization stuff for your hands when you walk in the door, and it's all this stuff. And they spray you down with a fire hose and, dip you in antiseptic. Not really. Just the last two things, I was just kidding. I just don't take that seriously. If Joe Biden can joke about running over reporters with a truck and get away with that, then I can joke about, being dipped in a bottle of sanitizer. So we, but some things that Trump never said, like drink bleach, are somehow that's accepted that he said that because the news media said he said it. So that's there. Therefore, it makes it a fact. But you don't see that being fact-checked on anywhere at all. So we have this, we went out to dinner and walked all the way to the table without a mask on. Nobody else was wearing a mask. Everyone could see us as we were walking in. They knew who we were. They could see the people walking in. And we could see them. And we could smile and say hi. And our server walked up to our table, smiling. And we could tell she was smiling because she wasn't wearing a mask. I have to say, the server seemed actually very happy. Now, every place I went, except for here in my hometown, and there's still some problems here too, but every place I went, I go out to eat quite a bit, by the way, because I'm on the road. Not on the road, but I'm in different places all the time. And every place I went, there was this, problem with servers. There was not enough people, working. They couldn't find enough help. The restaurant industry, again, is being beat to death because they can't find enough people to come work for them because they're getting paid too much to stay home. This is, again, the government, jerking around with the economy and meddling with things because they're gonna fix things. They're gonna help people. They're going to give you a guaranteed minimum income, something like that. And then it's going to have to be a livable income. And then it's going to be, you know, all we have to do is tax the rich. Well, the rich is going to be anybody who has a job at some point. And that's kind of the way it is already. Now, I got some advice for those of you who are sitting on your butts at home collecting all this unemployment. You might want to think about having a job lined up. Because at some point, there's going to be a tipping point in this whole thing. One is your benefits are going to run out, and everybody's going to rush back to work, and the job lines are going to, you know, the help wanted ads are going to dry up because there's going to be lines of people at the door filling out applications, and the companies are going to have their pick and choose. And if you're one of those unmotivated individuals who seem to have a hard time just working because you don't have any purpose in life. Now, maybe you've got reasons for wanting to stay home. And this is where it gets really hairy. It gets really screwy because, you know, you've got people with kids who want to stay home and take care of their kids. So they're getting this unemployment. They can stay home, take care of their kids. They can save money. They can be, you know, be more of the homemaker type thing. They can build a home, whether you're male or female. You can stay home with your kids. You can deal with, you know, family life. And you get people to take care of, maybe your mom, your dad, or your kids, or whatever, whoever it is that you're helping to take care of, and that it frees you up to do that. That's great. And then you got people who are just sitting around taking a vacation, basically. Taking it easy because right now they get paid more than they would if they went back to work. So, and I would argue that there are probably far more of those people. There are fewer people doing the honorable thing than there are doing the lazy thing, because people are selfish and they're lazy. I know, because I am one. It takes a certain amount of fortitude, tenacity, and self-discipline to work when you don't have to, or when it doesn't seem like the... Yeah, anyway. So, I see this all over the country right now. The service industry is hurting because nobody wants to go to work. And there's coming a tipping point. I'm telling you, there's coming a tipping point when this is going to happen. There's two things going to happen here. One is business. You know, the unemployment benefits will run out. People will start going back to work. They'll start lining up for applications to fill out applications again. And it's probably going to happen all at once, because some states have actually had the sense to come out and say, we're not going to extend unemployment benefits anymore. My state is one of those. And there's about 12 states now that are following suit on this. Because they realize that the what is going to happen with the economy, what's going to happen with businesses. Because here's what's happening. Some of these businesses that are now open but can't find help may end up having to close. So those jobs are going to go away, period. So not only are those jobs going to go away, but about the time these unemployment benefits are shut off at the federal level, all at once, you're going to have people rushing back out to go to work, and there's not going to be any jobs. Boom. Now you're standing in line with 200 people trying to get a job at McDonald's. And in some places, they're paying you to show up right now to fill out an application. Just to fill out an application, they're paying you $50. No questions asked. So that's where we're headed with this. Because there's plenty of people out there to work. Because look at the unemployment rate. The numbers are, it's actually going up. Unemployment is actually going up. And right now, there's no excuse for that. Businesses are hurting for labor. They need labor. Workers. So why is the unemployment rate going up? Because nobody is going out to get work. This is a headlong disaster that we are headed for. And they're not recognizing what's going on. because they feel like they need to take care of the people because the Constitution and the insurrection and the attack on our democracy, temple democracy. Nancy Pelosi is such an idiot. I'll try to refrain from calling people names. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to call her a name. Yeah. So, I think I called her an idiot. I'm sorry. Sorry I did that. I'm not going to say how sorry I am, because I'm not sure there's a scale for that level of sorry, not sorry kind of thing. So, we have this other thing here we've got going on by the name of Giorgio Soriora Soso. I'm trying to be kind of careful about how I say things and what I say here on the show, because I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I know that I'm an uncensored show. In other words, I don't censor myself. I don't care what I say too much. But I want to kind of be careful about this right now for just a little while to see what happens, because I think there's something wrong with the reporting on my numbers that are my listeners. Because all at once, listenership has gone down and stayed down like a flat line within 1 to 2 listens. Actually, it's like it's that flat. Going from the numbers I had to down to this other level, and then all of a sudden it stays there exactly. Makes no sense to me for over 7 days. Something weird is going on there. So, you know, I thought I was sneaking around, kind of doing a, you know, the sneak around back way around getting my message across, because I wasn't actually posting the podcast on, you know, like you can't just click on it on a link on Facebook and it'll play on Facebook. It actually, you know, takes you to a player that plays it outside of Facebook, but I think maybe that's changing. iTunes also, maybe Apple Podcasts, whatever they are, might be changing things. Spotify might be changing things. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but apparently they're, because they can, the things that are going on in the name of marketing and the tools that they're using now are being used as censorship, as well as canceling people, basically, and redirecting traffic and flow and likes and hits and clicks and all that stuff. Those were all marketing tools, and they still are marketing tools. They're using all these things as marketing tools, and it's big tech that's doing all that stuff. Well, they're in bed with the politicians who don't care to protect us from those things because of money, power, greed, popularity. All those things that politicians fawn over. And because they are so all important up there in their temple of democracy. I hope that Nancy, I just don't think that some of the people up in Washington realize that the democracy that they speak of, which is not really a democracy. I use the word democracy just because they do, but this representative constitutional republic that we have, based on individual liberties. It's harder to say than just democracy. It's not a true democracy. It's a democratic process. We have a democracy's process that helps us elect our representatives to protect us and our liberties, our individual liberties. They're sent to Washington to defend us, not to continue to find ways to usurp their authority over us, which is exactly all they do now. It's all Nancy Pelosi does. And it's becoming very obvious even within the House, because now she's got this whole mask mandate thing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And that's becoming a whole ball of wax too. That's a whole other thing. And this is all coming down to the powers that be and those who want to manipulate through shame and fear. But we'll get to that. So, as I was saying, the algorithms now with the listens and stuff are you've got everything that's being said and recorded and spoken, that used to be, you know, if you didn't put it in writing, they would, you know, they would censor that kind of thing. They would have, you know, they would look over that kind of stuff, and they could find certain, you know, could search words, and they could do all kind of stuff. Well, now the speech to text is becoming so good that they can literally put closed captions up as a person is speaking, and those closed captions are immediately posted as you're speaking. Now, sometimes they get it way wrong, especially if the person has an accent or something like that's going on. But they can still, it's good enough that they can find key words within that speech that they can then censor you or knock you down or whatever. So if any of those things are being scrubbed, any of those things are being, and by scrubbed, I mean just, you know, screened, I guess is a better word. So they're going through them to find certain statements and words and people's names and that kind of thing. If they're doing that, they can very easily, very quickly determine whether or not you are, you know, what your podcast is about or whatever, you know, if it's just an audio podcast. YouTube has been doing it for a long time. Facebook also has been doing it for a long time. I was in a meeting one time, and we had a live Facebook meeting going on. And we're broadcasting it live. This is before COVID. And we had some specific mention of some things, and we're talking about some things that got a little bit political in the discussion. And within 30 seconds of starting this conversation, our feed was bumped off. Now, I know that that's supposed to be a coincidence, but that feed was never bumped off, and we couldn't get back on. It's the first time ever that feed had been bumped down like that. So those are the kinds of things. Now there's also this infrared camera now on the phone. The phones are becoming incredibly autonomous in some ways. They're collecting data. And most of the reasons that they're giving you for collecting this data, and most of the reasons they'd actually do it, is because they want to find out what you're talking about, what your lifestyle is, because they can pop you in a box of demographics, and they know how to market to you now. This is all marketing information. So now they can, instead of spending billions of dollars trying to find the 100 people that are going to buy their product, they can now spend $100 finding the billions of people who want to buy their product. They can narrow it down to the point where, you know, they can find individuals wanting a particular item or product, and they can sell those narrowed down demographics to potential advertisers. And that's where the real money is. And so that they're, you know, it's all marketing. Marketing is the big money. It's got people paying them lots of money to advertise. And they're only going to pay that money if it's effective. So if you're sitting there, you know, you get your phone in your pocket, and or maybe it's not in your pocket, but, and they're working on the technology to clarify that. Well, like if you got it in your pocket and it's ruffling around in your pocket, they have filters now to help weed out the sound of the shuffling in the pocket. They can pick up your voice, your vocal tones better, because they're picking out certain frequencies rather than the other shuffling frequencies. Filters are becoming very, very sophisticated. So they can hear you even with the phone in the pocket. But if your phone is out right now, if your phone is out and you're talking to your buddy and your phone is off, it could be laying on the table. Of course, there's a reason it has a camera on both sides, by the way. Because if you lay it down on the table with the face down, of course, now you got the camera on the back. And if you lay it down on this, you know, face up, you got the camera on the front. There are also other things on there. There's little light sensors and stuff on there. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not, but if you happen to cover up both light sensors and you're in bright light, the thing will dim down anyway. And it's not the camera lens. It's other sensors that they're basically hiding within. You have to get the light just right to see them in the screen. So the phones, the iPads, all those things are becoming listening devices. And if you don't believe me, just talk a lot about something, some kind of product. go off and talk about, I don't know, tasers or whatever. What are we going to talk about? Talk about some kind of food product, a particular kind of car that you're shopping for. Talk about, hey, I want to buy a car. Just keep saying, I want to buy a Chevy. Whatever it is you want to buy. Or even if you don't want to buy it. Especially if you don't want to buy it. And see what starts popping up on advertisements on Amazon. When you go onto Amazon and or if, you know, if any kind of searches you're doing, that kind of thing. The advertisements that pop up on the side. When you go to do a Google search for something totally unrelated. And all of a sudden these advertisements start popping up on the side for exactly the thing you were talking about. I'm getting into a lot of conspiracy theory stuff here. It's not a theory at all, but it's absolute. And it's all in the name of marketing. Here's the problem. Because of the way our government works now, the government can go after that information. Not from you, but what you've disclosed to these third-party organizations. So, I've said all that to say this. I believe there are more people listening to this show than what the numbers are telling me, because I don't agree with what's happening here with the charts. It's theoretically impossible for that to be the case. So, having said all of that, let's get back to the whole George Soros. Speaking of conspiracy crap, George Soros, one of the creepiest individuals on the planet. Apparently, I don't know how many of you heard of what's going on in Maricopa County. The, quote, shenanigans, end quote, continue. And, of course, the establishment Republicans are getting involved with the Democrats in this whole thing, wanting to put it to rest. It's just time to put it to rest and go forward and say that Joe Biden won. That's not the reason for this audit. The reason for the audit is to make sure that this never happens again. One, to make sure that people trust the other election. If there's nothing to see here, then let's go see what there's nothing to see of. If there is something to see, we need to know about it so we can stop it in the future so that we all have faith in the elections again. You would think that the Democrats would be all about this. If they were so confident that this was the most secure election ever in the history of the United States, which they have said. Those are words that they have actually said. We went from, oh no, the Russians are already meddling, this is before the election, already meddling in our election, to this was the most secure election ever in the history of all mankind. How does that happen? How do we go from 4 years of the Russians hacked our election to this is the most secure election ever in the history of all mankind. Nobody ever tampered with anything. And there's nothing to see here. Go move along. Joe Biden's the president. That in and of itself makes me suspicious. Just that alone makes me suspicious. Regardless of all the other stuff that I've, you know, that makes me suspicious. Suspicious enough to recount the whole thing. Everything. Every vote. In the whole country. Because they're saying it. If they wouldn't have said anything, if they wouldn't have said that, I probably would be a little less likely to. But, once again, it's this whole thing of what you're seeing is, these are not the droids you're looking for. They're trying to influence us in a way that, trying to sway our opinion. Well, I'm more comfortable now having people see me wear a mask indoors because, until the CDC gave their, the new thing, I wasn't, because Anthony Fauci is such a fraud. How would he say fraud? Hey, Mr. Anthony Fauci, how do you say fraud? Oh, you say it, anything that comes out of your mouth is fraud. That's how you say it. This guy has discredited himself so many times that I've lost count. He has lied to the American people so many times, and to Congress. Rand Paul called him out and said, "You're just wearing this mask thing for political theater." "Oh, no, no, it's because of the variants. There's the variants. Yeah, that's what it is." You could almost tell he was making it up as he spoke it. His eyes were, the way his eyes were looking around for something to say. It's the variants. Yeah, that's what it is. All of a sudden they realized people aren't going to get vaccinated if they realize they have to keep wearing a mask. "Oh, well, no, you don't have to wear a mask now if you're vaccinated indoors. You still have to wear one if you're in a, you know, congregative situation, or if you're unvaccinated." Now this is coming down to a very touchy and delicate situation here now. Because supposedly, if you're not vaccinated, you're supposed to wear your mask indoors. So now we can tell who's not vaccinated, because you're wearing a mask. Now, the dilemma that people have here is a lot of people on the left, a lot of the left-wing bleeding hearters, they still want to wear a mask, even though they're vaccinated. And now, you know what it is? They're struggling because if they don't wear their mask, they will be labeled as a Trump supporter. If they do wear their mask, people will think they're unvaccinated. So they got this dilemma going on that they're all struggling with. Rachel Maddow has a hard time taking off her mask. She feels so she has to rewire herself now to think about seeing people without their mask on. They're not some kind of dangerous rebel. That's really what this was all about to begin with. It is the... So now it's the shaming of society. First, it's the fear thing. It's the fear. And I see this all the time on all kinds of YouTube comments. I see people on the left saying that the Republicans just want to... They just want to fear. It's just fear-mongering. They just want to make everybody afraid. The Republicans are always just trying to make everybody scared of and be fearful of anything. And this change that the Democrats want to bring. There's a reason to be fearful for that, but that's beside the point. Because of this crap that's going on, you should realize that what they're saying is actually true. It's there's something to be afraid of from what's going on the left. And if you can't understand that, then you're not seeing exactly what's going on. This whole thing with the masks proves it. These people are tyrants. They only pick and choose the science the science means nothing to them other than they use the word science and they label things science that aren't science. The scientific method, the very foundational principles of the scientific method are not even considered. It's like it you just get censored. It's the most ridiculous thing. So I keep going back to the mask thing. And I wanted to cover the voting whole issue on the voting thing. Because Maricopa County, they're going through this whole thing now of first of all, it was the audit itself that they were opposing. They finally got, you know, a judge to, you know, rule in their favor. They can have, you know, have the right to do the audit. They have everything's approved. Then it was they turned over everything. Now it's the servers. Or they were calling them the routers. I have the feeling these are not just like routers that you would just put in your home to, you know, transmit or connect devices to. I think these are like a combination server router. I think that they're being labeled the wrong thing. And I think as we think of them as routers, they're just calling them routers. I don't know. Because a router does not necessarily store information in and of itself. It does some routers do. It's a complicated issue, but supposedly these routers, and I'll say that with a grain of salt. I'll use the term because that's the term they're using. have all this data of all the voters and all the stuff that's in there. That's not a router, folks. Routers don't contain, that's a server. So I'm not sure where they're going with that. But so they gave them this information. They gave them this, all the routers. And then apparently the cyber ninjas discovered, or somebody within the organization that was doing this audit, said that everything had been erased. All the information had been deleted. Well, they were able to recover. Now, they're saying they recovered the information from the routers. The election board claims that they didn't delete the information. They simply, the people that had the routers just simply couldn't find the information, and when they found the information, they said they recovered it. So they're saying that they're lying. Now, the board, the voting board people, election board, they say that the auditors are lying. When they initially came out and said that things were deleted, they didn't say anything at all. Now you can recover files. This is the little known fact. When you delete files off of something, unless you do something called there's a product called BleachBit, which you've heard probably talked about. Hillary Clinton was very famous for using it on her routers, her servers. And she wiped them. You know, I mean, like with a cloth or something. Yeah. She used BleachBit on her servers. She destroyed things with hammers, smashed up phones, smashed up other electronic devices. So, you can recover those things if they have not been BleachBitted or, scrubbed. Just because they've been deleted doesn't mean they're not on the hard drive. That just means that space is now available on the hard drive. Well, they were able to find this stuff. Now, here's my theory. If they didn't delete them, they hid them in a file that was like an Oculus someplace off in the middle of nowhere that nobody thought to look into. And that's where it was. Probably in some folder somewhere labeled Grandma's Pictures or something. You know, that's my guess. I'm guessing they tried to hide them someplace, all this information. Now, here's where we get into a very sticky wicket. Because the depth of this thing goes, it's multi-layers. And so we get down into this thing of where, well, now we don't have the codes to the machines to get into really where the firmware is to really find out what these machines are doing. Which is a whole other thing. I could talk for probably an hour on this whole thing because of the Atrium County thing up in Michigan. And what it was discovered there, people aren't asking the basic question of why is there an algorithm? Rabbi Rick had that question a while back. And it's why is there, you're counting, votes. A one should equal one. There shouldn't be this flipping and switching and trading off and percentaging thing, this, then that. And, there's no algorithm involved in that. You're simply adding to one pile or another. So, out in Maricopa County, they discovered these files missing. So now, of course, they have to shut the thing down then they have to close everything off and put everything. Apparently everything's still on video. You can watch it, which I don't trust that much either, because that can be hacked and it can be looped. You've seen it in the movies. Trust me, there's all kinds of ways that can be. They could still get in and meddle with things. They have about 1.6 more ballots to go through yet. And it's the counting machines I'm concerned about. And that's the part that they can't get to, because Dominion now says that they cannot disclose the firmware because the cyber ninjas are not certified by the U.S. Board of Elections. Well, who is the U.S. Board of Elections? And what right do they have for a state to keep a state from auditing everything that's going on in that state. This is another reason why the Dominion machines, Smartmatic software systems, all that crap has to be just, we just got to get rid of it. There needs to be an open source counting system machine that everyone understands, and all it does is counts votes, period. None of this stuff where there's all this hidden stuff going on behind the scenes, saying that it doesn't connect to the internet when it absolutely does. Every one of those machines connects to the internet. As soon as you turn it on, it starts looking for a connection. And it doesn't have to be the internet as such. In other words, the local Wi-Fi connection. It can be a hotspot, like a cell phone. A Dominion representative walking around with a cell phone that machine will automatically connect to. And now you have access. These are the things that disturb me greatly and need to be completely reviewed. We'll take this moment to pause for our sponsor. And that's done. So now we have a situation now with the sheriff of Maricopa County that is apparently himself involved a little bit with a fellow by the name of George Soros. I don't know what organization it is. I don't know if it's the Open Society, or I don't know if it's the Tides Foundation. I don't know what it is. Something that he funds that's involved, apparently up to the tune of like $2 million. $2 or $3 million has been flowing around this county sheriff from the George Soros thing. Something, some kind of organization. And in the process of that, the sheriff now, which, you know, he's probably in charge of some of the security there in this facility, this arena where they're having this big count thing. And which concerns me as well. I mean, you know, this is the guy that's in charge of, you know, like, he's got guns, he's got people who are, you know, squad cars, he's got all kinds of, you know, they got undercover officers, they got all kinds of things, detectives and stuff. You know, people, they're connected usually with, you know, people within the county. So what are we doing here? Do we have, you know, fox watching the hen house kind of thing? And are we, this sheriff has made some statements and pushed back on a lot of things and, you know, not disclosed things, and is now also saying that this whole thing is a sham. And on top of that, not, you know, as if to pile on, the establishment Republicans who are coming out of the woodwork now, saying that this audit is a sham and needs to be shut down, it's not legitimate. These people aren't qualified to count. Well, who is qualified to count votes? Maybe we should get someone in there from the SEIU union. Because they're the ones who counted them the first time. Were they qualified somehow to count the votes, let alone do an audit? Who's qualified? Who is really qualified to do an audit? Because here's the problem. They did an audit. And this is what gets me about this whole thing. They did just enough to say that they did something, but they won't say exactly what they said. We conducted an audit in 8 counties. I think it totaled about 1,000 votes. They took a random sampling of 1,000 votes, called that an audit. These are the kind of games these people play. This is like, well, just what they did in Georgia as well. Same exact thing. They took a random sampling and ended up to being a total of like 40,000 votes. They took them to a college campus and had the college kids get involved in, this is, you guys have a chance to get involved in democracy. I'm sure they gave them some kind of big, long speech about how they were helping democracy by canvassing these votes. And of course, for them, you know, 48,000 votes or whatever it was, that seems like it's a lot of paper. Oh, look at all these things we counted. Because you got like, 19 kids counting votes. So it seemed like an overwhelming task. They counted all these votes and they were saving democracy. And they proved that the Georgia elections were the best ever. Of course, these ballots were all hand-picked. It's just such theater. Theater. It's such theater. And it's a sham. It's not, you know, the pushback alone in Maricopa County should tell you something. You know, of course, they don't want riots in the street. They don't want to see, you know, they keep calling this thing that happened on January 6th an insurrection. People I've talked to, and I happen to agree with, you know, some of the things that they've said. And maybe I was the one that said some of these things. I don't know. The temple of democracy on our nation's capital is not where our democracy lives. I'm just going to call it a republic because that's what it is. Our republic lives in the hearts of the people who live in this country, not in some building on the hill. Those who would like to think that the hallowed halls of this temple of democracy, this building that they work in to represent us, that is somehow all important and such a symbol of our democracy, I got news for you. I respect that. I respect the monuments that we have and the history that is there and the things that have happened in those hallowed halls, the speeches that have been made and the work that has been done there. I also know full well that there's been an awful lot of corruption that has happened in those hallowed, slimy halls underneath the rocks and under the tables. That has happened there in that temple of democracy. Because usually people build temples to their God. And I have to tell you, the leftists basically have made it very clear that government is taking the place of our God. They want to be our sustainer. Our provider. Just follow along with us and you can have the world. We have the richest nation in the world. We can take care of everyone. Well, you have to, if they can make that statement, think about that statement for a second. We have the richest nation in the world, which I'm not sure is exactly true or not, but it's probably close. How did we get there? How did we get to be the richest nation in the world? Was it because of because it was on the backs of slaves. Okay. We fought a war over that. We were the only nation in the world to fight a war to stop slavery within our own borders. And that was a long time ago. And most of our prosperity happened since then. And that prosperity, now all of a sudden, they want to sell it out to socialism because we're so prosperous, we're so rich. Well, how do we become one of the most prosperous nations that had the ability to lift up the middle class, the people in the middle class, people who were poor? There are people in this country today. I personally know one who was on food stamps. living in a trailer and not an RV like we think of today, and not a mobile home. With two boys and a wife. Living on food stamps. The man is a multimillionaire now. Owns one of the largest trucking companies in the country. His sons now run the operation. That doesn't happen in a caste society. And that's what they want us to be. Because they want a group, they want to divide us into groups, give certain people special rights, and then they can control and manipulate those special rights in whatever way they need to. So there's something going on there in Maricopa County, and I hope that they get to the bottom of it. I hope that they're discovering a lot of things already that I'm sure that the leftists and the swamp creature Republicans, the establishment, never Trumpers, Lincoln Project, slimy politician type people, warmongering individuals who are trying to keep a grip on their control, are trying to stop it. Now, there are a lot of Republicans right now that are just thrilled that they're on track to take back the House in 2022. This is the conundrum that I face with that. If the Republicans take back the House, one is they're mostly feckless anyway. They're not going to do anything. They'll be back in power and they're not going to do anything. Not going to reverse anything the Democrats have done because they're going to be afraid they're going to lose the House. They don't like being in power, but they like the fact that they're on the winning team, and they're going to say, "See, we won without Trump," which they won't because Trump will be behind the whole thing. He's the one who's endorsing and backing these candidates that are going to win, and even some of the Republicans that are going to be primaried out. And yet they turn around and think that they. Now all of a sudden, you know, the people are with us now. We got the people, whatever. They're going to stay. You know, they're going to think they can do this without Trump, or they can do this, and they can. Trump may decide not to run again. But the party has taken a shift, and they better understand that the American people are waking up, and that, you know, the kind of. I don't know. I'm running low on time now, but I do want to talk about a couple other things. One is the Atrium County thing. That's still flying around, and there's a lot of accusations going back and forth about what's happening with the audit there. Atrium County is where the votes were all, you know, there was a correction in the middle of the night where we discovered that 6,000 votes were placed in Biden's thing, and the votes were switched accidentally. So they switched them back so Trump got the 6,000 votes. How in the world does that happen? And they just kind of smiled about it and said, "Oh, this was just a normal correction. We caught the mistake, and it was just a little, you know, excuse me? What if you hadn't caught the mistake? How was the mistake caught? Why was the mistake caught?" This all seems a little bit creepy to me. I mean on YouTube, when there's likes and dislikes for a video, thumbs up, thumbs down stuff, they don't all of a sudden say, oh, well, we accidentally switched them. Or they were accidentally, you know, the algorithm was accidentally switched because all it's doing is counting votes. Now, when YouTube steps in and eliminates all the down votes, or makes it so you can't thumb down a video, that's a direct interference of the algorithm, which if you want to call it an algorithm, the counting of that thing. Just saying. Okay, let's talk about leather jackets. Something creepy is going on there, too. Governor Whitmer from Michigan, speaking of Michigan, Governor Whitmer from Michigan is she's always wearing this leather jacket. She wears a leather jacket quite a bit. It's like a black leather jacket with a short collar thing. Well, then all of a sudden I start seeing her Secretary of State also wears one. But it was a red one. She wears that red one a lot. Her Attorney General, she also has been wearing a leather jacket. Nancy Pelosi the other day, yesterday or day before, comes out with wearing a black leather jacket. Almost looks exactly like the one, like she borrowed it from Whitler. Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Nancy Pelosi, every time she wears a different color outfit, she has a matching mask. It's a fashion statement for her to wear her mask with whatever it is. And speaking of masks, she's continuing to say that anybody on the House floor still has to wear a mask. I think that her deal now is that if they're on the House floor and they're unvaccinated, they have to wear a mask. But I'm not sure. It could be that anybody on the House floor has to wear a mask and anybody on the grounds. Now, first of all, who made Nancy the hall monitor? I guess I don't understand why she's been given such power to tell everybody that. Here's the problem. If they don't wear it, they get fined. First time's like $500. Second time's $2,500. There's already been a couple of people, a couple of the congressmen and senators, I guess, that have been fined. And I'm not sure exactly what that's all about. And I know, speaking of fines, Ron DeSantis decided to give clemency to anybody fined for COVID violations in the state of Florida. This guy's got it. He's doing the right thing. We have Florida and Texas, the two biggest states. I guess Texas was one state where they said they have actually come out. I think this legislation has actually passed. I think the governor signed it into law. That if a business requires you to wear a mask in their store, they will be fined. You can wear one. You're right to wear one. If they force you to wear it to be able to shop in their store, they can be fined. This is what you call turning the tables on them. In Florida, we also have the legislation where the vaccine passport thing is not allowed. In other words, you don't have to show that you've had the vaccine in order to participate in an event. And as well as the fact that you don't have to force them to wear a mask. Texas has had no COVID deaths. I can't remember what the time period was. It was over 24 hours or might have been longer. Of course, this was the state that was Biden said was Neanderthal thinking. I'm not sure how he knows what a Neanderthal thinks. But I guess maybe he was around at that time when they were still, Neanderthal was still a thing. Which actually, that's not been that long ago. So, again, I take you back to last night's dinner. We got out of our car. We walked to the restaurant. We walked inside. We sat down, had a meal, and left. There was no mask involved. I gave my server a good tip. Because she smiled at us, and we could tell. So, there you go. That's all it took. So, there you go. Yeah. So, we're living in this world of crazy, and I'm not sure exactly where this is all going to pan out, but there's more of this fear and shaming and all this stuff that's going to happen with the mask thing. Going to see it all over the country now. And just a whole lot of crazy going on out there. So, you know, be careful. Keep your head down. Keep your head on a swivel. Don't let it sneak up on you. And don't become a part of it. Just keep praying for each other. Praying for our leaders. Our country. Our servicemen and women. Those who are in blue, those who are serving and first responders, all those people that are on the front lines of making our society a better place. God bless them all. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you tonight.